So today I'm at Debenhams Ottaway. I'm chatting with Louise Attrup. She's the executive partner in the firm's employment team. And we're talking about unfair dismissal today. So Louise, what exactly is unfair dismissal?
Hi, Kerry. Well, a dismissal can be unfair because the reason for the dismissal itself is unfair. It doesn't fall into one of the five fair reasons for dismissal set out in the Employment Rights Act. Or if the reason for the dismissal is unfair, the dismissal can be unfair anyway because the process the employer uses prior to dismissing somebody isn't fair. So, I mean, in terms of what are the five fair reasons for dismissal, the law is really quite clear on this. The five reasons are capability. So when an employee isn't capable of performing the role, perhaps they're unwell. Misconduct. I think we all have a fairly good idea of what misconduct means, you know, gross misconduct or lesser misconduct. So not following instructions, theft at work, that sort of thing. Redundancy, which is when employers need fewer employees to carry out a particular role. Contravention of statute, which is a bit of a technical one, but say, for example, somebody's work visa has expired, they would not be legally able to work. And then there's a sort of catch-all reason, which is called some other substantial reason, and that is where there is another very good justifiable reason that doesn't fall into one of the other categories.
So what would be an unfair reason?
Well, let's say, for example, an employee tells their employer that they're pregnant, and the employer makes up an excuse to dismiss them, perhaps says that there's a redundancy situation, but that's a sham. And the real reason is that the employer doesn't want to have to honour their maternity leave obligations. So that would be an unfair dismissal because the reason would be unfair and it would also probably be sex discrimination.
Yeah. And how would you know if the process was unfair?
Well, the law on unfair process is a bit less clear. What the Employment Rights Act says is that the employer needs to behave reasonably, which is obviously quite general. So when I'm advising on whether the process is fair or not, I tend to look a lot at case law, and what will be fair process will depend to quite a significant degree on what the reason for the dismissal is. So, for example, redundancy is a fair reason for dismissal, but the employer needs to follow a certain process. Yeah. They need to consult with employees, they need to try to redeploy those employees who are at risk. And in some cases, when you're in a pool of people which are supposed to be reducing, the employer needs to undertake a fair selection exercise. And if they do that in a way that is unfair or biased or discriminatory, although there's a genuine redundancy situation, your particular dismissal could be rendered unfair.
I've actually had personal experience of that. Years ago when I worked for a firm, they wanted to make a lot of people redundant. They offered voluntary redundancy first.
Yes.
And then there were still people that they needed to make involuntary redundant. And we all had to reapply for our own jobs. Is that something that you would deal a lot with?
Yes, I mean, applying for positions should be operated in those circumstances similar to a selection process. So the employer would need to be quite transparent and objective in the way they assess you when you re-interview for those new roles. So it's entirely fair.
Can anyone claim unfair dismissal, or are some workers not eligible for that?
No, you really need to be an employee. So if you're working in an agency, for example, as a temp worker, you would not have unfair dismissal rights. Right. And certain categories of worker, you might be entitled to holiday, and you might be protected against discrimination as a worker, but you may not be a full employee and you may not have that additional right of not to be unfairly dismissed. And also, really importantly, and the law changed a couple of years ago in this respect, you must be employed continuously for 2 years. So I very often see clients who think they have a claim for unfair dismissal, but unfortunately, if they've only been working for 18 months, there's really very little they can do about it apart from in exceptional circumstances. So they can claim notice pay. If they've been discriminated against, they can claim compensation for that, but unfair dismissal is off the table.
Wow. So actually, that probably answers my next question. Being self-employed, if you've got a contract with a company, how would you stand as a self-employed person with unfair dismissal?
No, you wouldn't have any rights to unfair dismissal. You may have some rights in relation to discrimination law, but unfair dismissal, unfortunately not.
So this is brilliant advice. And if anyone listening thinks they've been unfairly dismissed, what would you advise them to do, Louise?
Well, the first thing to say is that you really need to act very quickly. There are extremely strict time limits in employment tribunal proceedings. Generally, you only have 3 months from the date of your dismissal to bring a claim in the employment tribunal to actually lodge your claim. That has changed slightly recently because ACAS pre-claim conciliation has been introduced. So you must contact ACAS within that three-month window.
Sorry, who are they? Who are ACAS?
The Advisory and Conciliation Service. Right. So their job is to help to try and broker a settlement between you as an employee and your employer if you have a dispute. And they try and do that to avoid the case then becoming issued in the employment tribunal proceedings. And what the government did recently is ACAS used to be voluntary, so you didn't used to have to contact them before you issued proceedings, but now you have to, and you have to get a certificate number from ACAS before you are allowed to issue court proceedings. Wow. So if you go to ACAS, that will probably buy you a little bit more time, but generally just get in your head this 3-month rule. Wow. It's very tight time limits.
It really is, isn't it?
I think, I mean, I would say this because I'm a lawyer, but I do think it's important to get advice from some source as soon as you can, because, you know, the decision about whether to issue an employment tribunal claim is quite finely balanced. There are caps on the amounts of compensation you can recover, and you cannot recover your legal costs on top of that compensation. So you always need to think about weigh the costs and the benefits up, and getting tactical advice quite early on about whether you make an approach to your employer, perhaps to try and achieve an out-of-court settlement. You know, you need to get that advice and think about tactically how you're going to approach your claim for compensation quite early on.
Yeah. Talking of the costs involved, what if you can't afford to pay legal fees? I mean, if somebody's in that situation, they think they've been unfairly dismissed and they're nervous about the whole thing, what would you suggest? What if you can't afford to pay it?
Yeah, I mean, obviously it's very difficult if somebody's been dismissed. Naturally, money is going to be a real concern to them. I mean, there's no legal aid to speak of for this type of advice, and the availability of free advice is pretty limited, unfortunately. You can approach the CAB, but their employment advisors are really stretched. There is the possibility of representation through something called the Free Representation Unit, which is mainly barristers providing a limited amount of pro bono advice each year. But there's very limited numbers of cases that they can take up. Many people don't realise, but you may have insurance to cover legal costs in these circumstances. So if you check, particularly household contents insurance policies, bizarrely, it may say in the schedule that you are covered for family legal expenses, and that usually includes cover for your solicitor's fees if you've been unfairly dismissed. And as a matter of law, you have freedom of choice as to which solicitor you would like to use once you get to the point of going to an employment tribunal. So if your insurers accept your claim, a bit like if you claim on a car insurance, sure, if you've had an accident, if they accept your claim, they will enter into an agreement with your solicitor about the level of fees, and then you will be covered. And then whether you win or lose, you won't need to repay your legal costs. So, you know, it's a real bonus if you can get this cover.
That's a brilliant piece of advice to end this session on, because a lot of people won't know that. So thank you so much, Louise. And if you are listening to this and you do want help, then I guess the first stop would be to go onto Debenhams Otterway's website, have a look there, and listen to all this advice and act upon it as quickly as you can. Thank you.
Thank you.